You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Morrow-Wolf. Our co-host, Joe Jackson, is at the table with our guest today. Joe?
Well, first I'd like to say on behalf of Donna, myself, and Urban Connections, we'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody. Every year in January, many people make many New Year's resolutions. Some people want to lose weight. They vow to be more on time, organized, be more organized. But what about our financial health? This year, for the month of January, Urban Connections will focus on helping people improve their financial health. Today's guest is Kansas City Credit Union President Eric Jones and Vice President Marilyn Chappelle. First, we want to say thank you to coming on Urban Connections.
Very welcome. We're glad to be here and want to thank our host again, Joe and Donna.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you here at the table, Joe.
How important is it for a family or an individual to watch their financial health?
Well, I believe that it is very important. I always say that setting financial goals is definitely the route to take first. And from there, then definitely set a budget for your household. And I know a lot of people might ask, what is a budget, or how do I set up my budget? And a budget is an itemized summary of your income and expenses for a given period. And so that's going to help you prioritize your spending. It's going to help you manage your money throughout that time to reach your financial goals. Financial goals, I always say that you want to set up a 3-month financial goal, 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, and then maybe even a 5 year. So then that way you know what pace that you're trying to achieve. And then also with budgeting, I like to break it down by your fixed expenses, your variable expenses, and then also your wants. Because throughout that time of your budgeting, you may realize that you might need to adjust some things. You might even see that you might need to eliminate some things in order to reach your financial goal. So budgeting is very important to make sure that your family is on the right path financially.
What about credit? You know, many people, well, I don't know if I have good credit or not. We know a FICO score ranges anywhere from 300 to 850. But what can people do to improve their credit? You see a lot of things about we can fix your credit in 30 days. Is that believable to be true, or is that something people should stay away from?
Definitely rebuilding your credit or even establishing credit is definitely going to take time. So anybody who says that, hey, you can have that 700 credit score and you know you're at 550 or 580, if they tell you that it can be done within 3 months, 4 months, that is not true. It takes time. It takes some sacrificing. It's, some people will say it's time consuming, but it's so worthwhile to make sure that you know what's on your credit report and come up with an action plan to be able to fix that credit to get it to where it needs to be. So I always say that at least 9 months and up, if you're focused and if you're dedicated to really changing things around, 9 months and up is definitely a good time frame of getting things turned around.
Marilyn, I'd like to step back a couple of steps, if we can, to the talk about budgeting. You mentioned a couple of terms that people might not be familiar with. You talked about variable cost versus fixed costs. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of what those are and, you know, how the different types of costs can impact your budget and planning?
Sure. Your fixed costs are going to be more of like your auto loan payment, your house payment. Your variable cost is going to be more like your cable bill, some of your utilities, you know, things that can, that the cost variable for your variable expenses, that is cost that can fluctuate based off of how often you use it, or how many different products that you might add on to that service, you know, like a phone, cell phone. You know, a lot of times we want all the perks on our cell phones. So then what happens? We're that's more fees. So it's going to cost more to be able to have that. And then your wants, everybody knows the wants, you know, your purses. If you like purses, okay. Those shoes, if you like shoes, sometimes we need to eliminate some of those. We need to cut back maybe for a time period to be able to achieve some of those goals.
Okay.
And Donna, I'd like to add in terms of your budget, mm-hmm. I like to have a category called discretionary funds. As Marilyn was stating, you want to put that aside and kind of treat yourself. So if you're handling your budget the right way, you should have some money left over. Then you can treat yourself to something new. But also, just as important is in that budget to put some money away for savings.
Yes.
3 to 6 months is usually the general rule for emergencies. And I think everybody's aware of the Great Recession we just came out of. We've seen a lot of that.
Yes.
Painfully aware of the Great Recession we just came out of. Are there some rules? Like, I've always heard this, you know, formula for how much you should pay for rent or mortgage. It's 25% of your gross or your net pay. Which one, Eric?
Yes. In terms of the lenders are looking at, you're going to be roughly about 25% of your gross income is where you want to be in terms of a mortgage payment. And that'd be an upper limit. I recommend being less. A lot of times people are stretching 25-30%. And then if you get yourself in a bind, then your house is on the line. So you don't want to do that. So 25% would be a good rule of your gross income to set aside for a mortgage. And then while we're talking about mortgages, there's what they call a back-end ratio. So the first ratio would be the mortgage ratio, 25%. But then there's a total income. And most lenders want you to be 36-40% total income. So all your total payments of your gross would be no more than 36-40%.
Of your?
Gross income.
Okay. Okay. So, in a year? Or
you can calculate it monthly or yearly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So just as a baseline, 36-40% of your gross income.
Right.
Okay.
The total back-end ratio.
Okay. Total back-end ratio. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, tell us about the Kansas City Credit Union that you guys are a part of. What makes it, you know, different from a regular bank? What is its mission and purpose?
Yes. Kansas City Credit Union, we were founded 75 years ago, and actually was founded to take care of the city of Kansas City, Missouri workers, and then we have branched out since then. Unlike banks, not everybody can be a member of a credit union. So our membership criteria, and every credit union is a little different, but ours is if you live or work in Jackson or Clay County, you can become a member. But the biggest difference between banks and credit unions are credit unions are democratic. We are run by a volunteer board, and we have a wonderful board right now. We have elections coming up in April, so if you're inclined, if you want to give back to the community, you can run for the board. We have 3 positions up every year. The other nice thing about credit unions are we don't have shareholders. So when you become a member, you're actually becoming an owner of an institution. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, if I get away from this bank and become an owner, well, here's your opportunity to join a credit union. So you get a chance to run it, manage it, elect the board. And then also, you know, any profit we make, we give back to the members. So we don't have any other alternative. We just give it back to you in terms of better fees and rates.
Okay. And if you don't happen to live in Jackson or Clay County, you live in like Platt, for example, you kind of out of luck, or are there other credit unions?
There's other credit unions. Okay. That's our membership. But the other credit unions that have Platt County and actually long-term planning, we like to add Platt to our membership.
Okay.
Right. And as long as you work in Clay or Jackson County, right, you mm-hmm. can be a member as well.
Oh, there's a caveat that might be advantageous. Yeah. Some of us. Joe?
You all offer some great loan products. I know one thing we hear a lot about in Kansas City is payday loans and how horrible it is and how it takes millions of, according to the mayor, I think it takes about $20 million out of the city's economy. Mm. You all offer an alternative to payday loans. Can you explain, tell our listeners what that is and what are the qualifications for that type of program?
Sure. We definitely know that a lot of people are caught up in that vicious cycle of payday alternative loans. And what we do at Kansas City credit union, or I should say offer, is we have a payday loan alternative. We also call it payday alternative loan. As long as you've been on your job for at least 6 months, you have to be a member, and we're able to verify your income, then you qualify for a payday alternative loan. The least amount is $300, the max is $750, and we love to help our members get out of that vicious cycle and come to a financial institution. And I think a lot of people just don't know what financial institutions offer. In particular, our credit union, what we actually offer, and we can definitely take a look at, you know, what people may have at a payday alternative loan and try to get them out of it by them coming and talking to us. But we can definitely look at different options for them all the way around. We can actually look at the big picture, not just that one debt.
So in other words, you're helping them get themselves back on financial track. Not just they go payday to payday. Mm-hmm. Now, what are the terms of that, since it's a payday alternative loan? How is it paid back? I know when they have to write that check when they get that loan from that payday loan place that day. How is it paid back with you all?
With us, it's paid back by every time that they get paid, and we like to see that they set up a direct deposit with Kansas City Credit Union, and we set it up according to their payday. And one thing that we've seen at Kansas City Credit Union is that our members pay us on time, because we have that option of just set it up with my paycheck every payday, and we make sure that payment comes to us first before it hits their account.
I will say this, you all have some of the best loan rates out there and some of the best loan packages out there, but it seems like you're the best kept secret in town. What can we do to get more people to know about Kansas City Credit Union and some of the great work that you do, not just with your banking, but also in the community?
Well, we just like to say thank you for having us here today. This is a start. That is actually one of our missions for Kansas City Credit Union. Actually, last year we had created a new vision and a mission. Our vision is to empower people. Our mission is to educate our members, advise decisions, finance needs, and invest into the community. So this opportunity today is definitely putting us well on our way to achieve the goals that we've already set.
One of the great things they do is once a year they offer a $500 scholarship to any graduating senior, but they have to be a member of the credit union, so that gives them a head start on their next level of college or their trade school to be able to get them there. So it's a little bit of a cushion to be able to get them to that next step. Donna?
$500 is significant when you're trying to buy books for folks or get whatever they need for that dorm room. $500 means a lot. So how many branches of Kansas City Credit Union are there in the city? And, you know, how do you reach out to people? I don't recall ever seeing a KCCU sign anywhere.
You haven't seen the sign yet, but it's coming. We're going to do some more advertising in the future. But we have three locations. The main location is at 5101 Bristol Drive, Ararat Drive. So I get my church and my business mixed up sometimes. They're real close by.
Okay.
5101 Ararat Drive. That's the main office over by the Peace Street, East for Traffic Way 435. Mm-hmm. And then we have one location in City Hall on the first floor over by General Services. And then we have a location up north in Gladstone on 7203 North Oak Traffic Way.
Okay. Now,
Also, I want to mention that they do have ATMs in the water department on 63rd Street.
Okay.
And they have an ATM at the health department on 2500 Troost.
Okay.
So they're right where a lot of people in the urban core mm-hmm. live and work.
Yes. A lot of people in the urban core reportedly and statistically do not have high levels of income. But we're talking about budgeting. How does someone with not too many resources even think about budgeting? How do you talk people through that?
Well, I think it's all about making sure that you are very truthful with yourself and with us when you bring your information or your income to us. We just sit them down and we just talk to them and let them know that, you know, this is where you are. This is where you need to be in order for us to do A, B, or C. Mm-hmm. If they can't meet a certain criteria by themselves, then we always ask them if they would be interested in adding a cosigner. And letting them know that just because we add a cosigner doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. You know, a lot of times people think that if I have to add a cosigner, you know, they just think it's a bad thing. They don't want nobody else to know their business.
Right.
But that is definitely a great opportunity to be able to show for more income to help you not only with your credit and trying to achieve whatever goal that you brought to us, but it definitely just gets you on the right track, whether you had to have somebody on there or not.
Eric?
Yeah, and Don, I'd like to add, it only takes $25 to become a member of the credit union, so that's okay. Very low. And going back to Marilyn's point, in terms of setting a budget, once you start savings, you know, it could be as little as, you know, $10 a week, but it's real important to get started, and then you can work your way up to something higher.
So the interest rates are going up. We're hearing that the Fed is going to raise the interest rates. How do you anticipate this is going to impact consumers who perhaps want to buy a house or make any other major purchase?
Now is probably a good time if you want to get a mortgage or a loan. Your rates are going up. The Fed has said that it's going to be gradual. But sometimes institutions will jump it a little more than gradual. So now's a good time, especially in the mortgage industry, to get a loan. But yeah, rates are going up, but the Fed is saying it's going to be a slow rise. And then in terms of rates, if you look at our deposit rates, we have some of the highest deposit rates in the city.
What does that mean exactly, deposit rates?
Right. So if you're saving money, if you got a savings account, money market, CD, we're paying some of the highest rates. So that means you'll get a bigger return on your money. So that's more money back to you.
Okay. But I should have started 9 months ago trying to improve my credit so that I'd be ready to take advantage of this low interest rate mortgage situation. Now, what is the course of action that individuals should follow, like from now going forward, and, you know, anticipating being able to purchase a home in 2016?
Yeah, the first thing I would do in budgeting is very important there. You want to find out how much you can afford. And we can sit down with you and look at, you know, where you are financially and tell you, okay, this is kind of the range you want to be in. So that's probably the first thing is really to take a look at your credit and figure out how much of a house you can get. So that way you can go on the market and, you know, the house is worth, you know, $3 million. Say, oh, no, that's out of my range. But, you know, $1 million house, you know, is in my range.
I can work with that.
Yeah.
Joe?
One of the great services that you offer for your members is income taxes. You do, if you're a member, for $75, you do a basic return, includes one federal return, one state return, and up to two 1099s or W-2s, and you do that electronic filing, all for $75, which is unheard of.
Yes.
You know, you can't look at some of the big box places and get that for that. So it's kind of, that's a great thing. You know, people ought to know that those benefits are available and how they can take advantage of that and how it can really help them jumpstart a savings account, saving on those fees they would have charged.
Yes, that's definitely important. I mean, just building a relationship with an institution in which we like to say our credit union, period, you can take advantage of that benefit. And like you had said, Joe, is that that's a great time to be able to put money up, to start saving money, and not to use all of it just because you have it. But let's come up with a strategic plan on being able to achieve some of your financial goals that you've already set. With that extra money that you have received from taxes. And also, with allowing us to do your taxes rather than going to some of the other institutions that are going to charge you, you know, $300 and up for a fee just for processing it. That right there is a savings.
Are there things that people can do to get the best tax outcome? Do you give people advice on what you should be doing during the year so that when they get to their filing, I guess it, there's some things that you can even be doing now prior to April 15th, for example, that can help you with your 2015 taxes. I think there's some March deadlines or something like that, or some things that you can do prior to April 2016 that can impact you in a positive way. What are some of the things people can
There's quite a few things, Donna, but unfortunately in the society we live in, there's such a legal things going on. People want to sue you all the time. We're not able to give a legal or accounting advice,
okay.
But we will direct them to qualified professionals to give them that advice. I mean, but we have a knowledge of what they can do, but unfortunately for legal reasons, we can't tell them to do that.
Okay, so we're going to have to do an income tax filing show for before. Before probably March 15th, Joe? That'll be timely.
That's part of our January.
That's what we got going on.
That's just part of what we got going on.
Because we got to cover the whole gamut here. Other things that will impact a person's ability to save and budget. I think we are sort of bombarded by a lot of suggestions on how to spend our money on television and advertising. How do you inform people about, you know, being reasonable with their spending, or what is being reasonable with your spending?
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of this one. Without mentioning any names, I will just do categories, but title companies, check cashing facilities, buy here, pay here, rent here, pay here places are really not set up in your best interest. So make sure you read the fine print and understand, you know, how much interest you're paying, because, you know, it could be in excess of 300-400%. Then I'll let Marilyn kind of chime in on the rest.
Okay. 300-400% interest. That means for $100, I pay $500, $400, or something like that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a lot, really. Okay, Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and with budgeting, definitely set aside money, as Eric had said earlier, set aside money that you know that is a reasonable, realistic amount. You know, a lot of people, we have the big idea that, hey, I want to save $100 every paycheck. Well, that might not be realistic at the beginning of you starting a budget. You might only have an extra $10, you know, right at the beginning. And then set that goal to set $100 as your stretch goal to get there. So I always say one step at a time, whether it's $10, whether it's $20, you will get there as long as you're determined and you're really working toward setting up a budget and setting up a savings.
Do you have any tools that people can use for tracking their expenses? I mean, I don't think people take to heart how much discretionary spending we do in a day. You know, that latte that you buy, mm-hmm. that big bag of chips, that, you know, all the extra things that we do. Do you have some tools for how to track those expenses, those variable expenses?
We do. We have a weekly budget tool as well as a monthly budget tool. And, you know, we have a couple of people who actually come in for financial advice to talk about budgeting. And it's funny that you say that, you know, we don't really realize how much money we spend on that latte or how much money we spend on that sweet tea from Quick Trip. Because it tastes so good. It adds up. And once you actually lay out that itemized summary of your income and your expenses, you will be surprised of how much you actually have going out. And that weekly budget is really going to be an aha moment for you, because you're going to keep every receipt that you actually spend and really calculate at the end of that week how much you're actually spending. Some people might even have to calculate daily, because it's easy just to go to a quick trip or go to a Family Dollar and get some snacks just because you're on a lunch break. So some adjustment definitely may need to be done during that budgeting period.
I would add to that, Donna, there's programs out there like Mint.com where you can go and you can register your debit card. Yes. And you can set it up. And if you exceed it in whatever your budget categories are, it will tell you that day when you spent more on your food. At the end of the week, it'll give you a breakdown. It'll tell you where you spent. If you always wonder, where did my money go? Mm-hmm. Mint will tell you where your money went. Okay. At the end of every week. So, you know, it'll tell you when your bills are coming and everything else. So we had started earlier talking about credit and credit scores. What are things that people can do to go back a little bit? How can they improve their credit scores? And we talked about, you know, a lot of people think, though, if I'm going to the buy here, pay here, then they're going to improve my credit scores. And then they find out that, well, they weren't reporting to the credit bureau, the big three, you know. And not many people know they can go to annualcreditreport.com and get a free annual credit report, but they're also required by the government requires the big three to give them a free credit report at least once a year. So if they could look at going to, say, they could check one every 3 months, they could keep a good track. So if they looked at TransUnion, say, in January, they looked at the next one, TRW, in, say, March, and then looked at the other one, say, July, they can get a good look of where their credit is and keep a track of it and help them kind of build it. But how can people look at rebuilding their credit, you know, so when they get ready to go buy their next car, they don't have to go to buy here, pay here. They could come to you all or another financial institution and be able to get a good quality loan.
Yes. You definitely want to know where you stand at all times. And by doing that, yes, you go to an annual credit report. It's free once a year. Grab that. And if you don't know how to read your credit report, that's what we're here for. You know, bring it to us so that way we can go over that credit report with you. One thing that you can actually do on your own, even without looking at your credit report, is making your payments on time. Your score is made up of a couple of different reporting. 35% of your credit score is made up from your payment history. 30% is made up of amounts owed versus your credit available. So if you have credit cards out there and you have a $500 limit on it, the rule of thumb is you use only 30% of that available credit, because if you use any higher than that, then that's going to affect your credit negatively. So 30% weighs on your credit score. Also, 15% of your credit report is linked to credit, so how long you've actually had credit. 10% is new credit, and another 10% is types of credit that you actually use. And what that means is you should always have at least one credit card and at least one installment loan. And installment loans are like your auto loans. It's like your personal loans, your mortgages. That's an installment loan. One credit card for emergency purposes. I know a lot of times you go and you're trying to rent a car, and you need a credit card. You know, they are not accepting debit cards. So a credit card is always great for that emergency purpose. Along with credit cards, a lot of times, you know, people are just trying to establish credit and then they can't even get a credit card. So one thing that we always suggest is get a secured card. And what a secured credit card is where you take your money and you put it on that card. And a lot of companies start at least $300. And even with your money, you can look at it as a savings, that you always know that you have that $300, but you still only want to use 30% of that available credit. So on that $300 secure credit card, you only want to use $90. So that may look like you only go get gas, maybe that's your gas card. You know not to go over $90 on that secure credit card. But you continue to make your payments on time. If you can't pay it off in full, then at least make your minimum monthly payment. Just never be late. Because like we had stated before, payment history weighs 35% of your credit score.
Okay, Joe.
I have a question. I know we had a couple months back, the Rush card. A lot of people have their Rush card. They like the status and the symbols like a credit card. They have their checks deposited. And there was a lot of problems with the Rush cards where people's money was deposited on the Rush cards, but they couldn't get the money off the Rush card. I think it was for like 2 or 3 days. They ended up with a lot of bounce fees. So if you are banking at your local bank, credit union, financial institution, and you have your debit card, do you run into that same type of problem with their credit card that they may run into with their Rush card? I know the Rush card also charges people a fee every year for having it. Is that something that you would have at a regular financial institution, just a fee for having that Visa debit card?
No, we don't. We don't have a fee for having a debit card with us. And actually, when we see those members that have other pay cards other than our debit card, we're always suggesting that they get a debit card that it's theirs. They don't have to pay a fee for using their card. This is their money on their card that they don't have to continue to keep loading onto that card, which can be an inconvenience to some. But just set up your direct deposit to come right on your debit card. And what that does is it's a benefit for you because you no longer have to stand in lines whenever you get paid on that Friday. And you don't have to stand in line at a credit union.
But also you're not getting charged a fee from the company. So when you go down and go buy your groceries or you may buy your bus pass, you're not paying that transaction fee because you're only using your money.
Exactly.
So you're not being charged to use your own money, where with the Rush card and some of the other cards, you're being charged to use your own money.
Exactly.
So it's a way to save some money and put it into the budget column.
So you're basically opening a checking account at a financial institution. Is that correct? In order to get the debit card.
Yeah, that's correct. And then I would be remiss to state that our checking accounts are free.
Okay.
So there's no monthly service charge.
All righty. We're going to take a break. And we come back, we'll continue our conversation with our folks here from Kansas City Credit Union. This is Urban Connections series on financial enlightenment here starting in this month of January. We have Eric Jones, who's the president, and Marilyn Chappelle, who's the vice president of the Kansas City Credit Union. You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Urban Connections is the program. I'm your host, Donna Wolf, our co-host, Joe Jackson. We're all here at the table looking forward to this next segment where we give you even more information about how to manage your finances in a wise and responsible manner. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break. Bunny Wailer, didn't you know you're a child of the universe? You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections with your host, Donna Wolf. Our co-host, Joe Jackson, is at the table with our guests, Eric Jones and Marilyn Chappelle of Kansas City Credit Union, which is a not-for-profit entity that is member-owned and exists to be a source of financial resource for our community. Joe, and we do have a call coming in.
You all do a lot of partnerships in the community. I know you're right now you're teaming up with Harvesters for a food drive from January 4th to the 22nd. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you all to do that?
Well, once again, that's our mission, to invest in the community. So we're real big on just partnership, period, and really helping our communities. We, in another way, just to get our name out there and let them know what we're all about.
We've got a caller on the line, I do believe. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
You are on the air at 90.1 FM. Please tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from.
This is Sharon. I'm calling from South Kansas City.
Hi, Sharon.
And hi, want to say to your guests that I have joined a growing number of people, I think smart people, who are opting out of the credit card industry scam against the majority of people in this country. You know, when the economy crashed 7 years ago, major banks and lenders and the financial experts blamed the consumers. They blamed us, saying, you know, we had irresponsibly overborrowed on our credit cards and abused credit. And they took no responsibility whatsoever. And now, we didn't create this monster, this credit card industry monster, but when we use them, we continue to feed it, and it gobbles up our incomes, and it empowers the very wealthy and helps them to keep the rest of us in debt and powerless. And in this post-recession 21st century reality, the average American can no longer afford to live for a credit score, nor should we be identified with or as a credit score. Because there are too many stories out there, and you know them, where good people are struggling still and having difficulty. So I'd like for you to address what the credit union is going to do in order to respond to the community, in order to look past the 20th century scam into credit and move us into something responsible where we are not dependent upon this whole credit thing that was created. It's not part of the fabric of our country. It was created, manufactured by people in power, and it's kind of changed. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Thank you for your call and question, Sharon. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a great question. That's what I love most about Kansas City Credit Union is that, unlike banks, we do not operate inside a box. We look at our members' stories, and we make decisions based off of your story along with your credit. So it's just not determined, did you meet that 640 credit score, and no, we cannot do anything by. That's not us. We take time with our members. We sit them down. We go over their credit score. We ask them what happened during this time period that allowed you to miss, you know, payments. Is that situation going to change, you know, going forward, or has it changed going forward? We also, what's nice about our credit union is that we're able to give our member loans at low as a 575 credit score. And sometimes, depending on the situation or the circumstance, we can go a little under. But if we make an exception, is definitely going to be based off of maybe like your stability of your employment. Do you have direct deposits set up? You know, but we always make sure we don't put anybody in a situation where it's hard for them to pay back. We do not believe in giving loans out when we know that our member cannot pay back.
Go ahead.
In addition, we do offer a debt consolidation loan. So if you're real serious about getting out of that credit card cycle, you know, sit down and talk to us. You know, we can pay all of them off except for one. But it takes a little bit on your end to make sure that you don't go back into that cycle. But we can help you out.
Certainly sounds like you are not your credit score. You are an individual and a human being.
That's right.
At your credit union. The other callers there. Go ahead, Joe.
I would like to add to that to our caller. What she doesn't know is that In the first president, after his re-election, one of the first bills he signed was bankruptcy reform, which before that there was no means test. Now you have to prove that you have no money to be able to file bankruptcy. And this was written by, back then, MBNA and a lot of the credit card companies to keep people from being able to, as they said, we were irresponsible, but they were giving people credit who had just came through bankruptcy and putting them back in that particular thing. And there's a documentary called Maxed Out, and it talks about people who have been maxed out on multiple cards. And in it, one of the VPs of one of the big corporations, he said, "We give credit cards to people who want a taste for credit." He said, you know, never mind that they're paying large fees to have the cards. They only get a little bit of credit, but we give them that taste for credit. And as long as we give them that taste for credit, they will be customers for the rest of
now,
their lives.
Now, see, that's the same, you know, methodology used by, you know, drug dealers to get people hooked on, you know, crack or something. We got another call, and that was my opinion. We got another call on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
You are on the air at 90.1 FM. Please tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from.
Harold from Kansas City, Kansas.
And your question or comment for our guests.
Yes. One of your questions was asking about setting up a budget if your income is real low. And my comment is anybody and everybody can learn to live on a budget, no matter how low that budget. If your income, like example, if your income happens to be $1 a month, you can learn to set up a budget to live within that $1 a month to pay your bills and save to until you get to a point where your income that is raised. So there is no minimum. Maybe for the bank, but there is no minimum on learning how to live on a budget.
Righty, caller. Thank you so much for your question. Comments? Joe? Thank you, caller.
Recognizes that all our budgets is a way of you telling your money where you want it to go and how you want it to go, because absence of that, your money will do whatever it wants to do. If you don't tell it where to go, if you know you have a light bill, a gas bill, and a water bill, then you say, I'm going to pay the light bill, gas bill, and water bill. Pay the things that you need to pay first, your rent, your gas, your water bill, those things that you need to survive. Sometimes you may have more month than you may have money and more other items, so you have to prioritize.
Yeah.
But just understand, when you start to give your money directions and guidance, every month it'll get a little bit easier, and it'll start to be less items that fall underneath the line, okay, that where you don't have enough money.
All right. Good advice, I believe, Joe. We're going to take a break right now, you know. And when we come back, we got a couple of spots we got to play. We come back, we'll continue our conversation on finances and financial health with Eric Jones and Marilyn Chappelle of the Kansas City Credit Union. You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Wolf. We'll be back after these messages. 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, Urban Connections with your host, Donna Wolf, our co-host, Joe Jackson, at the table. Our guest in studio, Eric Jones and Marilyn Chappelle of Kansas City Credit Union. This is the jumping off point of Urban Connections series on financial health. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, give us a call here in the studio, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. Joe?
You all, there's a lot of things. The school districts have changed because they found out the kids didn't know how to balance a checkbook. They didn't know how to get a debit card, anything about life insurance. Do you all do any education opportunities for people in the community to help, say, your members, you know, financial checkups, different things to help them, you know, parents as well as children? Do you all do anything, programs like that, that would help families and students to get started in life?
Yes, we do. Financial literacy is very dear to Eric and I's heart. So we're definitely trying to make a move in the community and offer different financial programs. One in particular is our Biz Kids program that we were awarded a grant from the National Credit Union Foundation. We were one out of 16 credit unions in the United States that was awarded this grant to be able to go into schools and teach them about money and entrepreneurship. Last year, we worked with an elementary school, Faxon Elementary, and we did one. It was a series, so it was one per quarter, And what we did, and this was out of Kansas City Credit Union's budget, is we also worked with the parents. So while we were educating the students, we actually held seminars in their library and did financial education for the parents. And we talked to them about opening up checking accounts, savings accounts, opening up kids' accounts for their students or their kids as well. And then also we talked to them about establishing credit and reestablishing credit, and just letting them know that we're a one-stop shop for our families and our communities. This is such a passion for us that we're really going to make a move in 2016, and we're still looking for other organizations as well as schools that are ready to partner and move this forward, as we all know that our students, they need this information.
Would it be possible to maybe have a partnership with the Kansas City Public Library? I know they have a lot of teen programming, but also they have all the different libraries where they also do really good programming with Money Smart Month, where they, each one of the libraries does something with Money Smart Moments. I know I'm also involved with the Alliance for Economic Inclusion, where we're trying to get people who are underbanked more, get the underbanked more banking opportunities, which is, sounds like right in that particular area
yes,
where you're working
perfect.
At.
Yes.
You always hear about, you know, people in the urban core and underserved communities who don't have checking accounts. What are the barriers to folks having checking and bank accounts?
Well, I know. I know a lot of times people do not want checking accounts because they do not want to use checks. Well, just because you open up a checking account doesn't mean you have to have checks. That checking account is going to be a great way for you to be able to access money wherever you're at without having to go to an ATM if you get a debit card. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, I think the other barrier is fear. People just don't know, and we make it easy for them. I think the main thing is really to teach them really how to do a check register.
Okay.
And we do that a lot, unfortunately, but that way they can keep track of their money, and it goes along with budgeting.
Talk about check registers and debit cards. I see very, very few people who treat their debit card that's linked to their checking account like they would a written check. I see very few people who record their debit card transactions in a check register. How important is that or not?
Yeah, it's very important. I think we just got to slow down in today's society. We're so quick to be on the go and swipe because it is easy access. But take your time and actually write down the amount that you just swiped, because by the end of the day, you didn't forget at least one or two places that you went to and swiped. So, yes, it's very important to keep track of your spending when you're using your debit card, because sometimes that can cause overdrafts, mm-hmm. which means that can cause a lot of incurred fees that a lot of times can hurt you.
Yeah, and Donna, I'd like to add, we also actually have a kind of a small check register just for the debit card, so they can keep that on their person. So when they do swipe it, then they can just put it right there and just transfer it to their check register.
Now that sounds like the responsible thing to do. Joe?
What a lot of people don't understand is, though, when you're swiping that debit card mm-hmm. and you enter in your PIN number, mm-hmm. you go from using it as a, like, Visa credit card mm-hmm. to it's a debit card, so the protections that Visa gives you are no longer there. So if something happens with that debit transaction, you've got to go down and fight between you and the bank. So when you go to go get gas, it's best to swipe it as a credit card, so if something happens, it's faster to get your money back than it is for you to have to go and argue with the bank over this. It was supposed to be a debit for $45, not a debit for $455, because now that money comes directly out of your account.
Yeah.
So now you got to go back and the bank says you put in your PIN, the debit went through, so now you have to go back and get your money back from that person.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just had swiped and used it as a credit card, you could have went in, filled out the dispute form, and said the debit was supposed to be for $45, not $455, and your money would be back within your account within 10 days. Instead, you still, after 10 days later, fighting with that merchant to get your money back.
So what about that, like at gas stations when you swipe your card as a credit? Don't they block a certain amount? They block like $80 on your card. They put a hold like $80 on your card.
Sometimes it's, and that's why people like to use it.
That's unpleasant.
That's why people like to use it there as a debit. But when you're using it there as a debit, if something goes wrong, now you got to go back and fight with that vendor. But if you use it as a credit and something goes wrong, you just call your bank and say, this is what the problem was. Fill out the form, and the bank will then start to go back and research it for you, which takes it out of your hands and lets the bank handle it instead of you having to go back between the bank, the vendor, and figure out where your money is and who has your money and who wants to give it back.
Eric is shaking his head.
We've heard the gas station story way too many times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, be careful with the gas stations. They do hold, you know, $80, $100 until a transaction posts. Cool. And in the meantime, you might have other things that bounce and that cost mm-hmm. you fees.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very critical situation there. Advice for the coming year. Good financial health.
Yes, we are so excited. We're running a promotion right now for our members, and basically we're asking, have you had your financial checkup? That's a promotion that we're running, and what that means is that if you haven't had your financial checkup, we're asking you to go to annualcreditreport.com and print off all three of your credit bureaus, which is Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion.
Mm-hmm.
Call Kansas City Credit Union at 816-861-5700 and set up an appointment to meet with one of our loan officers and allow us to go over your credit report with you. And from there, we will tell you the different options that you have with Kansas City Credit Union. We are looking to put our families in a different position for 2016. We're also trying to get people to start dreaming again. I mean, just because you might be in a situation right now doesn't mean that that situation can't turn in 2016. And so we're really wanting to help or assist our families to be able to attain the goals that they want to meet this year.
Okay. Eric, anything to add to that?
Yeah, Marilyn mentioned our vision and mission, but we also have a tagline that follows, you know, real close to what we're talking about, and it's your path to financial freedom, and that's what we're all about.
All righty, and I think that's what the caller earlier on, Sharon, had been alluding to. We, as a nation, seem to have had our financial freedom impeached and over it, instead of feeling free financially, we got this big fear, a fear of debt, fear of crashes, fear of all of these things. But there is hope. That's what that's the message that I'm
that's
getting
right.
from you guys.
Yes.
Joe?
No. Is there a number that somebody wanted to call you that could contact the credit union to get more information or become a member?
Yes, they can call 816-861-5700, and they can talk to one of our member service representatives. We also have some of our loan officers who also answer calls, so we're here to help.
Yeah, we also we have information on our website at kccu.net. And sometime in January, we're going to have a new website. So don't get too wigged out on what we see right now, but we have a new website coming.
Also, you know, next time you guys come back, because we're going to need a checkup on our finances, at least on a quarterly basis, I'm pretty sure, keep our progress steady. We'll have to talk about your careers and what led you into these banking careers. And that might be a source of inspiration for people out there listening too. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Eric Jones, President. Marilyn Chappell, Vice President at Kansas City Credit Union. Joe?
Next week we're going to have Credit Homeownership Empowerment Service Incorporated, better known as CHES, as our guest. So we're asking you to please turn in and continue our financial education.
All righty. More money, power to the people. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour for Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson.